Hello and welcome to the Gig Loop podcast. My name is Ed. Happy New Year! We are a London improv group. We do things on stage and we also do things on the internet. And we do this podcast, which happens once every couple of weeks. But because it's New Year, we're all in far off flung places, which means that we can't give you a podcast this week. But instead, we put together a nice little combo of some of our favourite moments, including Natasha getting engaged to Ross, which was beautiful news. We heard that while we were in Edinburgh, where we were having beers and burgers and we went to shows. And then they got engaged, and it was just like, well, let's toss everything out, let's get drunk and do a podcast. And so we did. Hence the bad audio quality, and hence the drunkenness.
How did Ross propose?
Yeah.
Well, kids, come closely. He took me up. Let's rephrase that. There was like a little place on Prince's Street above a place called Prince's Moor, and there's like a grassy knoll. I keep saying grassy knoll, and it's got a lovely view of Edinburgh. We always used to sit there on like lunch breaks and stuff and have a wee coffee when we lived here. So Ross said, let's go, and I was like, he's really adamant about going up on this grassy bit. And we got up there and he was like, oh, stand over there, I'm going to take a picture of you. And then I stood there, and then he got down on one knee, I screamed and cried. And then he cried. And then he went, is that a yes? Yes, that's a yes! And then we sat shaking for about 5 minutes.
From what Ross said, you didn't actually say yes, you just grabbed the ring and shoved it on your finger.
That as well, yeah. 6 years I've been waiting!
Ed and I actually knew this was happening beforehand, so and we were like just like keeping things secret
chomping
so well.
The bit. We're
like,
it was in the morning when I came in and Ellie went, the first compliment Ellie has ever given me, she went, you look really lovely today. And I went, oh, what did you say that for?
That's really sweet.
Now I know why. That's the perfect attire for what's about to happen. Well done.
I knew me being nice would give it away. Character.
I'll be honest, actually, especially since Ross happens to be in the room of in this podcast, I was surprised that it wasn't given away sooner, just because it has been, you know, there was a general idea that we thought that maybe you might know about it, Natasha. And when just before you guys left, Ross was standing behind you, and Ross was just like, right, we're off to go to our picnic!
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, dum, dum-de-dum.
And then break out a song. Dum-dum-de-dum, I'm gonna propose.
That was genuinely though, because it's a gorgeous ring, and Ross showed it to us, and there was about half a second when he first like tipped out the little bag that I thought he was proposing to me. and just a whirlwind of thoughts and images went through my head, like our children, how we'd grow old together. I was like, finally, my mum's going to be set loose. And I was like, oh, I see.
Hang on.
I understand this.
It's weird because I usually sniff these things out. Like, Ross can never, like surprise a dinner on me or anything. So I'm like, we're going for dinner. I've seen the reservation. Oh my God, I've rang all the restaurants in London and one of them said yes. We are going there, aren't we? And he's like, fucking hell. So I was the first thing after I finished crying was, oh my God, you're a crazy man, Ross Walker. Because I couldn't believe he actually kept it from me. And kept the ring hidden as well and brought it here and designed it himself without me even knowing. It's like, yeah.
That's the really impressive thing, like designing the ring.
Snaps to Ross.
Yeah. No, snaps. Well done, babe.
I would like to say that I didn't actually design it. It was a professional jewellery.
Okay, you decided what was the gist of it?
Yes.
Okay. The gist of the ring.
Yeah. The other night when we went to Just the Tonic, the Caves, to see a show, I went, oh, I'd love to get married. This is where Ross and I want to get married. And I'm so surprised that neither of you...
I was dying.
Neither of you went, oh, well.
My instinct
when you were like, oh, me and Ross want to get married here, my instinct was to turn to you and go, and you will!
Oh boy.
There was also a moment yesterday morning before you left the house, and Ross was clearly quite like keen to leave, and every time you went to like brush your teeth or have a shower or get some clothes on, he'd like pop his head in our room and go, I can't get her out of the fucking house. And we'd be like, happy days.
So I think well done to all of us.
Yeah.
For, yes, not figuring out. Not giving the game away. Yes.
Much like dancers, athletes, and all the rest, improv performers have to demonstrate physical prowess on stage and be incredibly coordinated. But of course I'm not. Demonstrated perfectly when I went to Berlin and found myself tested to the limit in a distressing public incident.
Oh, Ed.
Oh.
We've had words about this.
We have had words. I mean, sometimes my clumsiness has been known to stand in the way of my general progress. But this time it reached a whole new level. Basically, we were flying at about lunchtime, so we went to go and get some lunch at this public square in the middle of Berlin. And they serve this thing called Currywurst, which is a kind of spicy sausage that's chopped up and they put curry ketchup on top. It's delicious. But you get it in a sort of pot and everything's sort
that.
Of on top.
It's I'm delicious. I'm pretty sure I've had that, yeah.
And basically what happened was, because I am something out of a cartoon, I tried to sit down on this bench thinking...
I'm just really sad that at the age of 28 you have to use a sentence, I tried to sit on this bench.
I know!
That's bumming me out more than anything in this story.
I presume this bench was bolted down, so I kind of straddled it and the entire thing went over like a seesaw. My Currywurst just took flight. It was like a flock of pigeons in a John Woo movie. It just went vroomph. And I landed on my back and I had just enough time to look up before the entire contents of my Currywurst landed on my face, neck and chest.
What did you style it out? Did you just start rubbing Currywurst all over yourself making it look like a sort of patriotic statement?
It's like performance art.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, what everyone turned around and looked. I tried to stand up and take a bow or whatever because everybody was laughing.
You're such a showman, Ed.
I tried. And then one guy would not stop laughing. I was like, hey, leave me the fuck alone. Not funny.
In that man's defense, it does sound very funny.
On our podcast, we tend to have a lovely little device called the crap tin. It's kind of the fourth member of Giggleloop. It's a small metal box filled with whatever weirdness we require. We've been trying to get Ellie on the old dating bandwagon, and to help her up, we play our sexy innuendo game, Crap Up Lines.
Rifle, rifle, rifle.
First one. I'm ready.
First topic of...
I'm in a sexy mood. Let's go.
Hunger Games! Ah! Oh, there we go.
May the boobs ever be in your favour.
the girl's crotch is on fire.
Oi!
Oh! I volunteer as tribute. Sex.
Brackets for sex. Should I go for another one? See what we've got in here. Let's race through these.
Let's bash through my Hunger game.
Apples.
I want to taste your forbidden fruit.
Oh!
Naughty.
Core!
Yes! That took me a minute, but that was so worth it.
I pinked!
I'm going to grab your bushel.
Oh! Keira Knightley.
Have you seen me in Atonement?
If you take me home tonight, you can have me all nightly.
Oh!
It got there. It was slow. It progressed.
I'd like to play with your Princess Amidala.
I want to take you on a date at World's End.
Oh!
With a dangerous method.
I only wear Chanel Mademoiselle in bed because I have loads, because I endorse them.
Can you bend it like Beckham? Brackets, your penis. Next one! Flowers!
Flowers!
Oh! Sniff me.
Careful of the pricks.
If you grab my stalk, you might get the thorns. I don't know what that means.
Oh, check out my stamen.
Smooth.
I've left a stamen in your bed, sorry.
Having me in your house can cause redness and itching.
I want to pollinate you.
Oh, your pollen makes me sneeze.
Strictly Come Dancing. You filthy Greg of a whore.
Now I remember why we haven't played this game since. We played it last time.
I hope you're Len Goodman in bed.
Last one.
Sandwiches.
Oh!
Okay. Time for Marlon Brando impression. Get the butter.
Ooh.
Oh, God. Oh, painful. Oh, spread you. Oh, God.
I'd have you between two bits of bread.
Something about breakfast party.
That's it. I'm done. I peaked at core.
They say to be great at something, you have to eat, sleep, and breathe it. Well, we've been working on that.
The crap tin's taken a bit of a beating. I mean, it came with us all the way to Edinburgh. It came with us all the way back.
It's seen some things.
It has. That's why
it's
so
scratched.
It's seen some things. It stayed in mine and Ed's room in Edinburgh, and so it's probably heard some things. Oh, here's a twist. Quick confession, Ed.
No, don't. No. Oh, no, go on.
Okay, no, I don't.
What is it? Is this another Truman Show thing? Because I've been freaked out enough already.
It has Truman Show qualities to it. Basically, because I was sharing a room with Ed in Edinburgh. Well, I was in the middle of drawing a dick on his forehead.
Yeah, I'd come through because I thought it'd be really funny to put Ed's hand in some warm water and watch him pee himself.
And we noticed that he was sort of mumbling, mumbling in the night.
And you mentioned that he sleep chattered.
Yeah, so we set up. There's an app where you can record people talking in their sleep called Dream Talk Recorder, and you just put it by the side of the bed, and whenever there's a noise in the night, it'll only record those bits, so you don't get like 8 hours of dead silence. So yeah, Ed, some freaky shit went down in Edinburgh, but yeah, the results of this were enlightening.
I think you might even be able to catch a little bit of my girlfriend in the background there talking to me in her sleep as well.
Yeah, just chat to each other.
Sure, successful.
Yeah. Apparently there was a brilliant time the other day. Apparently I do improv in my sleep as well, which is quite
improv.
Alarming.
All the time. Well, right now.
So do you do like short form games? Do you like sound effects games?
Yeah, what do you mean by you do improv in your sleep? Like you haven't scripted what you say in your sleep.
But what I mean is that like I put on my improv voice, the voice that I put on when I want to throw my voice to the back of the room. Oh, and also my
I project.
And I did the thing apparently where I sat up in bed, laughed my head off, and then kind of went, oh, it's all just birds and Lego, isn't it? Which I think is surely just that should probably be in my family crest.
What a terrifying beast I was locked in with for 5 days in Edinburgh. Because I forewarned you of my situation where I don't talk in my sleep or anything. I do snore, but more commonly what I've been told is I kind of moan in my sleep. Did I do that at all in Edinburgh?
No,
I either moan or my
either friend, that or I'd slept walked out the room. I don't know.
My friends always tell me that I make this sound.
So like a Hannibal Lecter sleeping thing. That's scary. Ross laughs. So I've woken up many a time from him going, or like giggling, tittering away.
Do you think he's having a really funny dream?
I don't know. I don't know if it's like, you know, like when like dogs are like running in their sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's him like just realising how funny he is when he's sleeping. Do you know what I mean? Like he's like laughing at his own joke. Sometimes he says to me, he does like a couple of nights ago, he went, oh, dad. And stuff like that. And that's quite funny.
Oh, dad.
And then just goes, and then turns over, and that's it. That's quite nice, though.
Well, it's an alarming thing if you do sleepwalk. I was in Australia, went out drinking. I was on my own, so I went back. I went back to the hostel, went to sleep, and then I came to, and I was just alone in the corridor, and I woke up just looking at the front door of my room. And I could see the number and everything, but it's that thing when you're slowly waking up and you're slowly getting the information around you. You're like, where am I? Okay, I'm in the corridor. I'm in the hostel. I made it back. That's great. Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, my mouth feels horrible. Ugh. I mean, you know, that old alcohol taste, all the sensory stuff starts coming in. And then I was like, oh, well, I better go back into my room. Patted my pockets, or rather I would have patted my pockets if I was wearing any pockets. And I suddenly realized, well, I need keys to get into this room. And I'm not wearing any trousers. I'm not wearing any clothes at all, with the exception of some lovely festive Christmas boxer shorts. The stuff that would make...
That's not too bad.
I thought you were going to say you were bollock naked.
When you said some lovely festive, I thought you'd be like draped erotically in tinsel or something.
Well, no.
You're wearing pants, fine.
I'm wearing pants, but also at this point I'm very single. In fact, I'm rebounding because I've just broken up with a girlfriend. And then I really look at my watch and the time is 3 o'clock, which is kicking out time in Brisbane. And all of a sudden the corridor's just flooded with wonderfully attractive women. and
just you were wearing Christmas boxes and a watch.
You were primed.
No, no, no. It was horrendously embarrassing, and I kept thinking, okay, I'm going to tell someone to go and get me a spare key, and I can work up the courage. I was so embarrassed, and eventually I just had to do it. And then the guy from the front desk came up with my key, and came round the corner, saw me, and then fell to his knees laughing, physically buckled laughing at me.
Customer service.
Can I ask a question that might be really embarrassing for you?
Go for it.
Was it Christmas?
No, midsummer.
You're wearing Christmas boxes.
Oh,
boom.
That's a twist.
It was laundry day.
Crucial to the story, I feel.
Yeah, I probably should have said that.
I'm so sorry, Ed, for shaming
you. I used to have
a
great pair of pants that were like Christmas pants, and if you pressed them, they would play jingle bells.
Wow.
Why didn't you break those out in Edinburgh? Jesus, that would have been hilarious.
That could go off at some really horrible moments.
Yeah.
If you get nastily budged on the tube, that could be like, oh my.
It's like if someone knocks your handbag and it just hits you in the wrong place.
Why are your ovaries singing?
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, and then people are like, what's going on?
Sorry, I was just so leave that mean you started singing, I done the tune right at the same time. That was really weird. I was like, oh, sorry.
Great mind.
Moment. Oh.
As you know, we're all horrible people. You learned this early on with chirpy getting-to-know-you games like Two Truths, One Lie and Quick Confessions. Here I have filtered the dark truths just to remind you of three very important things. Tash is a drunk, Ellie is a liar, and I kick women.
I have been to 10 Downing Street been drunk, and I have been drunk when I met Amanda Holden. Both on the same day.
Both on the same day?
Yes.
Was it the same event? The same event.
I went to 10 Downing Street.
That's cheeky.
I met Gordon Brown. I was drunk on champagne, and then I carried on being drunk when I went to the awards ceremony and met Amanda Holden.
I once bit a classmate on the face. Two.
That's totally true.
Step number two, I once punched a friend in front of the headmistress's office, making her nose bleed.
I once twisted my ankle on a first date. We had a few drinks, and then on the way to go to a club, we started just sort of doing that playful thing where you kick each other sort of on the bum as you walk along, and we happened to do
no.
it.
No.
Okay, fine.
You've got to just find things to do in Cornwall, though.
Yeah, yeah. So how the other half live.
Yeah. That did actually happen, but
did
I did...
You kick a girl so hard, she twisted her ankle. Which is why you've never told us this story.
In short, yes.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. We were walking out of this pub.
That is domestic abuse.
No, we were
or was she a random? I don't like what she's wearing.
No, that generally happened.
This
and then
a woman in co-op kicked her.
She sprained her ankle. And then she insisted that we go to this next bar. She made me buy her tequila shots. Then she took off her shoe and her ankle was just ballooning up. And so I then had to carry her home.
Wow, so once again, we've learned a lot about Ed.
Ed attacks women on first dates. Beware.
All my statements were about me injuring people, and yet you've come off far worse. Yeah.
And I'm quite clearly an alcoholic in all situations.
Wow.
So I hope that was enlightening for all of you.
Do you want
to
move a bit closer towards me, Ellie? You're awfully close to Ed.
His foot's creeping.
Yeah.
Creeping over.
His leg's twitching.
I'm an incredibly good liar. I find it very difficult to tell the truth. I feel that would have been my tell in the game.
You have gotten yourself into a couple of scrapes through just sort of...
It's instinctive. It's instinctive.
Exactly.
Me.
Let's start with the roof terrace.
The roof terrace. I went to visit Ed's flat once, and this man held the lift for me, and I ran in, and he said, this is a stranger I never met him before, and he said, oh, what floor do you want? And I said, oh, sixth, please. And he went, oh, you're right at the top. And I went,
you are.
Yep. And he went, how long have you lived there? And this is the point in the conversation I should have gone, just visiting a friend, # normal social interaction. What I actually said was, oh, not long. And he said, oh, have you seen the new roof terrace? And I said, no, because I didn't live in that building. And he said, how come you live right next to it? And that was the point at which I went, I work abroad a lot. And he went, oh, show it to you if you like. And I went, great. Took me up the roof terrace.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And you needed a sort of key fob to get onto the roof terrace, at which point I rummaged through my bag,
pretending to search for a fob, going, oh God, I should tidy this bag. Oh God, where are my keys? And he opened it for me. We went up to the roof terrace. The only thing I said was, what a lovely view of Chicken Cottage.
Yeah, you did.
And
no
and,
euphemisms.
And he went, yeah. And he went, this would be great for barbecues. And I went, yeah, it would. We should do that in the summer. Put a note under my door.
Oh.
Expect
a note, Ed.
We'll barbecue. And then I panicked and went, oh, I better be going. And I came downstairs, and what I didn't realise is, as I've been going up to this roof terrace, Ed had seen me pass his window and then had seen a stranger follow me.
Exactly. So I went over to the door and opened it, ready to sort of welcome you in. And what was funny was, normally, you know, when you see someone you haven't seen for a few days, normally there's a, hello, how are you, good morning, how's your weekend, that kind of thing. And they just kind of powered past me, refusing to make eye contact.
Business face.
Practically pushing me to the side of the door, just powering through. And then exactly the other guy sort of went downstairs. And I remember just under my breath
going, close the door, Ed, close the door.
He either thought Ed was your boyfriend or your butler, one of the two. I'm not sure. It seems to open the door for you.
Either way, expect a barbecue invitation.
Yeah, if you get a letter under your door written in blood, you know.
It was just when I was up on the roof terrace with this stranger who thought, by the way, my name was Louise.
Ah, oh yeah.
And that I lived on the 6th floor of this building.
Ah, Louise.
In this segment, we are going to be taking it in turns to confess our sins based on random selections from the crab tin.
Captain, my crab tin.
Weird phobias.
Death and failure. Is that weird?
No, it's not. Very common.
I got very real for a second. I don't really have any weird phobias.
Okay, those are...
Loneliness.
Buttons.
Sadness.
Evolutionary friend. I have noticed you don't tend to wear anything with a lot of buttons.
I just can't be doing it with the faff. Most mean thing you've ever done.
Okay, one thing that was intentional, and I've always felt really guilty about. I remember being at school at about 10 years old, so it kind of became a game to shut this guy out of the classroom this class. Like, it was a break, yeah. And we just decided to shut him out. Oh, man, I remember him. His name's Chris Brooking. If he ever listens, Chris, I am so sorry, because I think about this every now and again, right? As a genuine low point in my character, where basically I shut the door and I kept him out of the class, and through the window in this door, he looked me in the eye and went, but I thought you were my friend.
Oh, Ed. Oh, my God.
I'm not actually comfortable sitting next to you anymore, Ed. That's...
Come over here. Come closer to me.
To my disgrace as well, being caught up in the peer pressure of this and other friends that were being mean, I went, we're not friends as well. First kiss.
This is sounding really weird. My first kiss was with... another Ross. My first boyfriend was called... My very first teenage boyfriend was called Ross. You know who you are. I'm not going to say your surname because you dated my friend afterwards.
Oh, hell no.
Any
more details to the story?
I remember touching a man's abs for the first time.
How old? First kiss?
12, 13?
Yeah,
old or is that young?
Yeah, me too, totally, yeah. 12, 13, definitely, totally.
Like, no, but like proper, like, snog.
Proper, yeah, snog.
No, like...
No, 12, 13 is a good age.
Oh, shut up, guys.
Mine was way later. Way, way later.
Oh, was yours earlier? Like a proper full-on snog?
No, mine was way later. I was wearing a corset. It was a Moulin Rouge-themed garden party.
Oh, my.
And I'd spent, like, the last hour throwing up on the bouncy castle.
Mine was just a regular Tuesday.
If you've been paying attention to all the end-of-year stuff, you'll notice that 2014 was notable for a number of great big British scandals. Things like UKIP and horrible stuff happening overseas, and the biggest news was, with no doubt, Sandwichgate. Thank God we had something to say about it. The front page of the Daily Mail on Monday the 10th of November... There was something that was known as Sandwichgate. Do you guys read this? This is where...
I'm familiar with sandwiches.
And gates.
Their front page was, there's no one left in Britain that can make a sandwich. Because what had happened was, the story goes that 300,000 Hungarians had been hired by a firm that makes all the sandwiches for all the
upmarket supermarkets. And basically the entire of Twitter responded in about half an hour, just taking the piss, just being passive aggressive.
Oh, it's the Daily Mail though doing the thing again where it's like British hands making British sandwiches for British mavs.
I know, right?
We let the Hungarians do it and you think you've got cheese and pickle, you open it up, it's a fucking goulash. like that's
fucking
just
goulash.
Like it's wow. Idiotic.
Gold. But that's exactly, people are putting a little bit too much stock in the Britishness of your sandwiches. Exactly.
Yes, Ellie. Wow. But that's like saying that we don't know how to, like, imagine if, like, we were told that we can't make a good cup of tea anymore. A good cuppa. Or we couldn't queue. We weren't very good at queuing anymore because we've got other people to queue for us.
You're not allowed to eat crumpets anymore. You have to eat scones. No, that's still British.
Scones.
You have to eat.
Gosh, I do imagine that is a crisis in the Fargo household. Then when Alfred comes down and goes, "Sir, we're out of crumpets." Tentatively, he got a beating last time. We're out of crumpets, sir.
We're out of crumpets.
Go sleep in the stable, Alfred. How dare you?
Right, I can make a sandwich.
I'm right.
All right.
Sandwich.
All right.
I'm not gonna boast. Well, I'm not gonna boast, but
good. If we're cracking
I
out
love a sandwich,
we're showing off.
Let's not crack.
I can make a cracking sandwich.
But in which case, you should probably have taken part in this Twitter campaign. For instance, there's a fantastic post on Twitter from Hussein Kezvani, which says, "Hello, Daily Mail UK. IR make sandwich, right?" And there is a photo of a kitten between two bits of bread.
Ah, yes.
Oh, I'd eat that.
How kittens should be gotten rid of, I feel.
And of course, Alan White, verified account this one, said, "Fearmongering if you ask me, hashtag sandwichgate." And then there is a photo of two bits of bread housing an unpeeled banana.
Interesting.
That's
interesting.
Perfect. You've got a balanced meal there. What you've got is got your potassium.
Got carbs.
Got fibre.
Zach is perfect. It's a
superfood. Alan's on the money.
Now, Giggle Piggles, we also like to lead you through this difficult world. We want to be your spirit guides. We don't just want to play games and have some fun. We want to answer your questions. And that's why we have Is That a Question? And we've collected a little roundup of some of our favourite Is That a Question moments.
Is pregnancy an STD?
Yes.
If a girl asks if you're gay, is it okay to touch her butt?
Is he gay?
I think the impression I get is that he is straight. But if someone asks if he is gay, if a girl asks if you're gay, Ed, for example, as a boy,
it's happened quite a lot.
If I ask you if you're gay, does that give you permission then to touch my butt immediately, like almost?
Are you gay?
Like a sort of compensation for the question.
No, exactly. But I mean, it's surely if you aren't.
So Ed's gay.
No, I think if they ask if you're gay, then the assumption being is sort of like, well, then you're not going to be offended if I touch your ass. But if it's...
If the butt is offered, perfect. I would always touch an offered butt.
It depends if he's hot or not, no?
Why doesn't Sophie put her toothbrush back in the toothbrush cup?
A personal question.
Well, maybe Sophie's like a euphemism, or it's like a... I don't know.
maybe she thinks that the best place to put your toothbrush is behind the tap.
Like Ross does.
Well, I tell you what, if you actually do put a toothbrush in...
I know where the toothbrushes go, because I put two toothbrushes there twice a day.
And I have to keep finding it again and putting it back behind the tap where it's supposed to go.
If two jetpacks and a monkey is the answer, what's the question?
What do I have in my basement? Because everyone's got that sort of apocalypse store. That's like my zombie apocalypse survival kit. Two jetpacks and a monkey. The jetpack is so I can get away, and the monkey is to be my butler.
I would say it's what do you need on the night of your wedding?
I would say it's a jetpack and a monkey. Well, the question
two jetpacks and a monkey.
Two jetpacks. What I'm going to say is that the question for that answer is, what will it take to get Eddie Izzard into the mayor's office?
Oh, I know this question. I do actually know this question. This is a fact. That is the answer to what's the new royal baby Gary called?
And a monkey.
Two jetpacks and a monkey Windsor.
Did anyone see me get my hair stuck in my work phone just then?
Yes, everyone saw you.
And Ed was making some uncomfortable sounds of pleasure whilst you did it.
And the little bit tuft of hair that was left in it, I have it now.
We're making DNA samples.
Yeah.
Prepare to meet your clone.
Yeah, it's around my neck in a small locket. and it will come back to you one day when I need a favour. No questions asked.
Man, I wish we were lying.
It smells lovely.
Oh my god.
Guys, I think we can do this.
What? Yeah. Can we? Is it time?
It's time.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Let's unleash the clone.
I don't.
Are we ready?
I kind of lost the clone.
What?
I lost the clone.
You were left with the clone. How could you lose the clone?
Well, I went to McDonald's and I tied it up outside, and when I came out, it was gone.
No, for heaven's sake.
I'm sorry.
We told you this would happen with your McDonald's habit.
I'm sorry.
Have you checked my basement? Because it made really good friends with that monkey.
Oh.
Well, what if they've got the jetpacks?
There were two jetpacks. Oh, shit.
They've escaped. Quick, get the rifle. Alfred!
2014 was also ripe for celebrity non-news, such as Justin Bieber's near punch-up with Legolas. But no riper revelation was there than Kim Kardashian's shining buttock photographs, the perfect follow-up to her big wedding with Kanye West, and of course, the app that changed Ellie's life.
In a heartwarming rags-to-riches story, multi-millionaire professional arse Kim Kardashian has made an estimated $85 million from downloads of her new app, Kim Kardashian Hollywood. Basically, a woman who already has more money than I will ever earn in my lifetime is becoming even richer by allowing me to virtually pretend to be her best friend. And I love it. The premise is to make it big in Hollywood, but not in a casting couch, how much do you really want to make it, kid, sort of way. You languish in the hellhole that is full-time employment until your spirit guide, Kim Kardashian, swoops in and sends you on a heady journey of paparazzi, club appearances, and sexcapades. As the most valuable lifestyle guide since Pippa Middleton's party book, this game offers such sage wisdoms as dating famous people will get you the best reward, changing your look and buying nice clothes can get you noticed by the media, and haters gonna hate. It's true, they gonna, those haters. So if you're the sort of person who wants to feel a sense of achievement without the faff of putting any effort in, this app is for you, my friend. BT dubs, Willow Pape can go to hell. Hashtag ratchet ho.
The Kim Kardashian game, I don't know if you call that culture, but we'll take it.
Oh, I can't stand Kim Kardashian.
It's popular culture, children.
Man, I mean, Kim Kardashian, what a... sex tapes. Because that is all... That's it. The rest is just... nothing.
She was a baby.
Can I say it this time?
Edit point.
Oh my goodness. No, I. Well, as we were having our meeting downstairs, I finally got onto the A-list, guys.
Well done,
sprinkles,
well done.
Sprinkles. No one wants to congratulate me.
No.
Which is really exciting. I've got a really steady relationship going with my boyfriend Dirk Diamonds. It's only a matter of time till he puts a ring on it. It's getting really serious, but I'm really worried he's going to find out about my bit on the side. David, he's a venture capitalist.
No.
This is something I don't understand.
People fancy Justin Bieber, Johnny Depp. What is that about?
This is what I don't understand.
Weirdo.
Is Miranda Kerr?
Hi, Johnny.
Is a very attractive woman.
Yep.
No, that's not subjective. An opinion, Tash.
Is.
That is a correct fact.
Okay.
She's an attractive woman.
Yeah.
Why would she sleep with Justin Bieber?
But it wasn't even as if it was recently. Apparently it was 2 years ago.
When she was with Orlando. Yeah. Is that the source of the beef?
But he would have been 18 years old. That is dramatically close to statutory rape.
Oh my goodness. Justin Bieber Instagrammed a picture of Orlando Bloom looking sad.
Crying. After posting it. Right.
This is the sort of celebrity news that I literally live for.
Let's break this down. Orlando Bloom allegedly punched. Oh, there's a video. Tried to punch Justin Bieber at the Cipriani in Ibiza. And can I just say, if you're going to throw a punch at Justin Bieber, which we all want to do, try and land it. Really try and land it.
Apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio totally was in his corner, Orlando Bloom's corner, going, yeah. Justin Bieber posted a picture of Miranda Kerr with a symbol of a crown, as if he's like, yeah, I've won, sort of. Yeah, I've.
Oh my goodness.
What a dick.
My throne.
Yeah. Am I right?
But would you punch Justin Bieber if you had the chance?
Yes. Who wouldn't?
I'd punch anyone if I had the chance. I just find it very cathartic.
Well, as we've discussed before, you have.
Oh, yeah.
She almost punched me on the tube the other day when I, touched her because it was so warm and she, batted my hand away.
Get cut like a bitch, right?
I just wanted to be
I was
close
really
to
warm
you.
And you put your hand on my face, so I slapped you.
Thanks for listening, Giggle Piggles. It's been a fantastic 2014. We've got a bottle of fizz to finish, but we'll be back in 2 weeks' time for a fresh, normal podcast. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on SoundCloud. Look us up on Facebook and Twitter at Giggleloop Stuff or at giggleloop.co.uk for our live shows. But most of all, have a fantastic 2015 and we'll see you there.
If you eat there, you get interval pudding.